Welcome to the 10:30 gathering, August the 12th. I don't know when you consider summer to be over. Some of you are like, Ben, I live in San Francisco. It never came. But we're on that precipice for us as a school age family. That's kind of, it all starts back over the next week or so. I know many of you are in that boat. If you're not in that boat, just you just decide when summer ends and when fall begins for yourselves. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different, so bear with me. If you want to know what we typically do, you can go to our website and see what a typical message time looks like. But for today, we've got to do a little bit of business as a church. And here's the first bit of business. It's a big deal. We've never done this before. We're actually closing a chapter in our church today. Here it is. We no longer need volunteers at Epic Church. Yeah. Let me say that again, in case you need to tweet that. Let your church back home know, what are they doing? We no longer need volunteers at Epic Church. In fact, today, what we're going to do is, I don't know if this is legal, but we're going to remove a word from the Epic vocabulary. We're actually going to remove the word volunteer from the Epic vocabulary. It's not because we're hating on volunteerism, just so you know. We think volunteer, that's a great word. It's a great thing. It's just not getting any longer to the heart of what we're looking for here at Epic. When you're seeking volunteers, what you want are people who will fill slots or spots. When you're seeking volunteers, what you want is just for anyone to do anything. But today, we aren't looking for anyone to do anything. We are actually looking for you to do your thing. You're like, oh, he got us. Listen, there will never be a day. We met with a mentor a few weeks back, actually about a month ago now, and really big church, one of the probably 30 biggest churches in America. And he said, hey, I know that you guys look at me and think a lot of different things. He said, but as long as I've been pastoring these churches, this specific church, we've never had enough money and we've never had enough people. I'm like, but you have so many people. And he was just saying to us that you're going to have to continue to invite people into the story that God's wanting to write, because the church is like, it doesn't really exist as an entity. You know that, right? Like Epic Church as an entity, it's never done anything, right? It doesn't give. It doesn't serve. It doesn't take care of the kids down the hall. It only does something as we who make up this church do certain things. So today we aren't looking for anyone just to do anything. We're looking for you and you and you to do your thing. If you guys will make way, people are still rolling in, which is awesome. I know that you got here early for that aisle seat, and you're like, why would I reward them with an aisle seat when they're just now walking in? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. It's a small way you can play your part. We're looking for you to do your thing. The thing that was deposited in you long ago, the thing that is to be your unique contribution to the world that none of the rest of us can do, that thing that God wired into you, you know that thing that you, when you employ it, you come fully alive. That's the thing that we're looking for you to do if you're part of this church community. If you're watching online, you're part of a different church, you're figuring out the church thing, we want you to fully invest there, because there's a part for you to play wherever you call home in your church community. But we're looking in this community today for us to rally around the idea that Paul presents this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, which says this, for we are God's workmanship, or God's handiwork is the NIV translation. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Let's break that down. For we, you're like, Ben, am I part of the we? I'm like, yeah, you are. Okay? For we, like, Ben, this was written in the first century. For we are God's handiwork. We are his special design. We are, in a sense, his artistic masterpiece. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. Meaning we're not just doing something randomly. We're not just looking at, oh, I have this skill or that skill. No, there's something spiritual and supernatural that gets deposited in us. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works. Here's what that means. We're not here just to do random things, right? How many of you are big fans of random acts of kindness? No. Me too. That's not what this is. Like you need to really hone in on this reality. God did not make you to do random things. He didn't make you to do random acts. He created you to do specific things that he dreamed up long before you and I had breath in our lungs. Isn't that stunning? Like, but Ben, I'm just this, I'm just that. I've only been following Jesus this long. Ben, I'm too young. Ben, I'm too old. Ben, my personality is this. Like, I'm an introvert. I'm like, God even gives gifts to introverts. So Will says, I don't know if it's true, but that's what he says. We want to rally around this idea because God is not just asking us to recruit more people. Listen, if I've got to be honest, in the early days of Epic Church, we literally needed warm bodies. You know what I mean? Like, we started at the W Hotel and we had a soundboard that we had bought, but none of us knew how to operate it. And so we said, who's the smartest among us on the launch team? And it was a guy named Josh Hamilton, who's still in our church. Josh no longer runs sound. But back then, we needed a warm body who sort of knew what he was doing, right? I mean, in terms of who was working with kids ministry, people who didn't have a criminal background. Like, back then, we didn't need you to have a calling. We just needed you to not have this other thing. But today we have people in our kids ministry and our student ministry and our worship team and production that are serving because it's their giftedness. It's their giftedness. So today, I don't want you to see it as a hard sell recruiting pitch for us to have you do something around here. I want you to see it as Ben is trying and this church that I'm a part of is trying to unlock the stuff that God put in me. That's what we want to be about today. It flows out of one of our 9 core values here at Epic. And just so you know, the 9 values we have, you know, when the church started, I had to present a business plan to hopefully people that would fund our church getting started. But you know how it is with a business plan. Like, you just, you tell people this is going to be reality. Inside, you're like, I don't know. And so you kind of have these aspirational values and vision. That's all you can do at that time. Like, I don't know everything that's going to happen. But now, while these 9 values are very much aspirational, who we aspire to be, they also are representing our current identity. And so I'll get to the 9th one, but let's get those first 8 first. This is just who we are. This is what we do around here. Jesus changes everything. Together is better. Next steps are taken. Leaders are developed. Families thrive. Generosity overflows. Impact is local and it's global. Vocation is sacred. And the one for today is everyone plays a part. You're like, Ben, who's the we? Us? Everyone plays a part. Now, what does this value have to do with our vision? Our vision at Epic Church is this. The vision of Epic Church is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. This is what we're after. The vision's not for sale. I don't care how awesome you are, how much money you have. You cannot hijack this vision. God has lasered this into our heart, and this is who we are, and this is what we're after. But what does it have to do with this? Listen, I love vision. Anybody else just love vision? You don't love my vision, but you love, generally speaking, I love vision. And in fact, a couple of months ago, our staff team, our executive team, we were taking this assessment and, a typical assessment. It's like, is this good? And then what would happen is there were 4 categories that would tell you where your score was in each of the 4 categories, kind of as who you are relative to a working paradigm from a guy named Les McEwen, just in the business world. And he's written a couple of books, my favorite, Predictable Success, but he also wrote a book called The Synergist. And this assessment would tell you where you fit in these 4 areas as a visionary, a processor, an operator, or a synergist. Now, let's not talk about Ben's weaknesses, but let me tell you what I was really high on, the visionary piece. I love casting vision. I love standing on this stage in a community like this. And my kids would tell you, I love doing it at home too. Here's who you guys can become. Here's the obstacle in the way. Let's go for it. I love going, hey, here's the picture of our preferred future. Let's walk into it together. I love that. But even as a big vision guy, here's what I know. Vision that isn't married to strategy is merely a pipe dream, right? And whether you're thinking about your relationships, your family life, your work life, you can have the most amazing vision ever. But if you don't have a strategy, and then, of course, we know after that is the execution of the strategy, it doesn't matter how grand your vision is. Does that make sense? It's unattainable. Right? So those of you that are in brand new companies, you're like, we got this amazing vision and we've even got funding. Well, without strategy and execution, you have no product. So if the vision around Epic is robust, and I think it is, then what's the strategy? You are. And you. And you are. And even you. You're the strategy and I am. It's literally the way God set this thing up. Now, before anyone wants to call me a heretic, the beautiful part in all of this is that God's committed to playing his part, right? Like, God's in this thing. He's not wavering. I'm not doing a recruiting pitch to God today, just so everybody knows. Like, God, we're doing this thing, and you've been given gifts, and we want you to... No. He's on board. He's doing his thing. He wants me to give you the pitch. Are you doing yours? Like, he's so into doing what he's doing. His vision is bigger than my vision or your vision could ever be for this church, city, and world. He is into knowing the strategy. But, and I'm writing a lot about this that maybe you'll be able to read in the next, I don't know, several weeks or so. But when God wants to do something amazing by freeing the Israelites from their slavery under Pharaoh, God's like to Moses, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this other thing. Now go, I'm sending you. And Moses is like, what? And God's like, yeah, this is how I do things. I accomplish them through you. And you want to go, Ben, people like me, people as young as me, people as old as me, people with my wiring and personality, people with my past, people that have only been following Jesus for 4 or 6 months. Do you mean me? And I'm like, yes, I mean you, because God means you. God means you. Trisha Neal, who is the president of Alpha International, she's a church leader and has been a church leader in London. And Shauna and I had the privilege of meeting with her in London last year. And she wrote a book called From Vision to Action. And in that book, she says something that I want us to really get around today. Here it is. With the participation of the whole congregation, a church can afford a big vision. With the participation of the whole congregation, how much of it? We can absolutely afford a big vision. She's essentially espousing value number 9 here at Epic. She says if everyone plays a part, if we don't have 20% of the people doing everything, and we don't today, but whatever the percentages that we do have, we're trying to raise that today, not so that we get something moving forward in Epic Church, so that it unlocks the very thing that God put in you to bring to bear in the world. That is what we're after today. And here's the good news. For the last 7.5 years, this vision has been being accomplished. Today, I'll tell you more in a moment, this vision is being accomplished. But we know that the best is still to come, and there's still realities out there that aren't realities yet because we haven't realized the vision quite yet that God has for us. So we're going after it. My teaching text for today is Romans chapter 12. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you have the YouVersion app, you can just go to live events, click on Epic. All of my notes are there. I should say everything's there except for the things that are going to come to my mind in the next few minutes. And let me tell you a couple things about Romans as a book, generally speaking, in the Bible, and then we'll stand up and I'll read it to us. Romans is a robust theological treatise. It's the book of Romans that really led to Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation happening just over 500 years ago. In chapters 1 through 11, Paul's giving us a ton of theology as he writes to the church at Rome. He's telling us who God is. He's telling us where we missed the mark. He's telling us what Christ came to do. He's telling us what is true about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then you get to chapter 12, and he begins with this word, therefore. And what Paul's doing at that moment, when you see that word therefore to open up chapter 12, he's saying, in light of these 11 chapters of theology, therefore live this way. So he goes, hey, I want you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. That's verse 1. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then and only then will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then we walk into chapter 12, verse 3. Stand with me as I read chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. But I do want you thinking all day long, he's talking to me, okay? You ever been in that setting where you're like, he's talking to everyone else? Today, I'm talking to you. And I believe I'm talking to you because I think God wants to say some things to us today. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, how many of us? Yep. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You may be seated. And again, if you want to know, like, Ben, who is this passage speaking to? Well, initially it's speaking to first century church in Rome. Today it's speaking to you. It is speaking to me. It's telling us some things about God, our church, us and what we're supposed to do with what God's given us. That's what it's telling us. And it really begins by giving us this beautiful design for how God has set up his church and for us to be participants in his church, right? So he says there's one body, many members, different gifts, different functions. One body, many members, different gifts, different function. But today, I'll just say it this way. We have one vision here at Epic Church, but we have many different parts to play. One vision, many parts. In verse 3, Paul gets after this idea. He says, you should not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. This is great advice, isn't it? I mean, just imagine our world if we all took this posture of humility. It's great general advice, but it's not the point Paul's making. What's the context? Paul's talking about our G-I-F-T-S's. Come on, what he's talking about our gifts. So he says to the church there and to us, when it comes to your gifts, do not believe that your gifts are more significant than anyone else's gifts. And yet, if we're honest, whether our gift is to do something on this stage or to do something in that kid's room or to do something in this lobby or in the bunker behind the scenes running the online campus, we probably all feel like other people have more significant gifts than we do. Anybody besides me feel that way so much of the time if I let myself? And I see so many of you stepping into your giftedness. I'm like, I wish I had that. God's like, Ben, you don't. Sorry. To step into what we've been given. And so he's saying, none of you have more significant gifts than others. By the converse, he's saying this too. None of you have less significant gifts than others. So I want you just to say out loud, and I'll give you a statement. Just say this out loud. Repeat after me. My gifts are significant. I was listening to anybody that chose the singular. Ben, I've only got one. My gifts are significant. Your gifts are significant. I want to say it this way. It'll be on the screen. All of the gifts that God put in us are equally significant. All of the gifts that God put in us are equally significant. If you don't believe that, then you have to believe one of these two things, that your gift is more significant or that it's less significant. If you believe that your gift God has given you for this community and to employ in this world is more significant than the gifts that we have, then you think what we have to bring about doesn't matter. But if you believe that your gifts are less significant than the gifts the rest of us have, then you will just think, what's the point? Right? I don't have that gift. That's the important gift. That's the significant gift. And Paul's going, every single gift is significant because God gave it to you. And the only alternative we have is to say, God, what you gave me is insignificant. And I don't want to dare any of you to enter into that space of communication with God. What he gave you is significant. What he gave you is significant. What he's given to me, it's significant. It's significant. And if you think about it, if God has put you here in this church community, and he's given us as a church a significant vision, and he's given you a significant gift or significant gifts, if you don't pair those two things together, then our church, our city, and our world is going to miss something significant. So what are you doing with a significant thing God put in you? What are you doing with it? In verse 6, Paul writes that God has given each of us a different amount of grace, or out of that grace, he's given us different gifts. By his grace, he's given us different gifts. And I want you to think about this amazing concept for a moment. God has graced your life for something specific. Like, I don't care what your track record is. I don't care if you're like, Ben, yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out. I just want you to know, and I want you to lean into this reality from God. I'm not making something up. It's all throughout the scriptures. God has graced your life for something specific. He's not doing something random with you. You're like, Ben, it seems random to me. He's not being random about it. He's being super intentional with your gifts and with your life and what he even did by bringing you into this community. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking to some people, and he says, you need to know something, that God actually determined the places you would live and the times in which you would live. Like, some of you wish you were alive back in the medieval times. Like, you think your personality fits well there, right? God thinks you need to be alive right now. Some of you are trying to get out of living in this city. Maybe God has that for you. But right now, if this is where you live, you're like, Ben, I'm out the end of the month. Okay, you've got a few days left then. He's got something for you to do. And the thing he's got for me to do is to try to change your mind. I'm in. Like, you were created to do something specific. You were created to employ the gifts that God has given to you. And when Paul begins to go through this list, I mean, it's an extensive list, isn't it? But it's not an exhaustive list. Let me say that again. The list in Romans 12, it's extensive, but it isn't exhaustive. A couple other scriptures for you to look at are Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You'll see different listings of the gifts that God has given to us, the spiritual gifts. But I want to say this, and I don't believe I'm being heretical when I say this. I believe there are gifts God can give that aren't even listed in the scriptures. Like, Ben, why do you think that? Because when Paul lays out gifts, he lays out different gifts in three different writings to churches. Like, really? He does. And then you can go to Exodus and see where God gave certain people craftsmanship, artistic gifts, where they were to be employed to use their gifts because God wanted a beautiful tabernacle built. And he didn't want people like me getting into graphic design. He still doesn't, thankfully. And so he calls gifts out of people. But why you don't see an exhaustive list of the gifts, I mean, look, you do see a pattern, right? And this sounds really basic, so I know it's like, it's lower, like elementary for you, but just, he gives this pattern. He says, if your gift is prophesying, then you should, you guys are so good. If your gift is encouragement, then you probably need to, and if it's teaching, and if it's giving, generously, the text. It's right there in the text. You're like, oh, he's tricking us. All right, serving works that same way. If it is serving, then giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And some of you are like, Ben, I know he did not give me the mercy gift. Here's the pattern. I'm going to show it to you on the screen. It's really easy. Not always easy for us to live out. Here's the pattern. If your gift is blank, then blank it. Then do it. Then use it. Then employ it. Employ it just means to make the most of its use. If your gift is, and here's what happens for so many of us. Some of us treat our gifts from God like we treat our finances. We know that if we use our financial gifts, we run out of financial gifts, don't we? That's what we think anyway. That's a different sermon, Ben. Stay here. Some of us think if we use our spiritual gifts, we lose them. And the truth is, you actually multiply your gifts according to the scriptures, right? I mean, we think it's amazing that Malcolm Gladwell stumbled onto this 10,000 hour expertise thing, but God actually wove that into the universe, that the more you do the thing that he called you to be good at, the better you get at it. And when you read the parable of the talents, the only person who loses their gift is the one who doesn't use it. The other two employ their gifts and they get it multiplied. So what are you doing with what you've been given? It's not meant to sit in you and just atrophy. I want to say it this way. Whatever God puts in you, he wants to bring out of you. What is that thing? You may have buried it because, oh, you tried to use it and it just didn't get received well. You may have put it off. Some of us live with a one-day mentality. Anybody else? I'll get married one day. We'll have kids one day. I'll invite my friend to Epic Church one day. I'll use my gifts one day. And God's going, I'm not giving you gifts for that day. I'm giving you gifts for this day. Use that gift. What are you doing that you've been given? Because people playing their part around here, this is from day one how our vision has always moved forward. And that train is moving forward at a pretty fast clip right now once again. People like Frances playing her part. Some of you are like, Ben, Frances works at Epic. Yep. But on Sundays, she does what she doesn't get paid to do. She is our stream host on the online campus because she knows when she gets on there, there's someone from Ireland that's going to be there every time. And she knows people all over Asia are going to be there. And she knows people all over the U.S. And she knows moms and dads who just had babies in San Francisco just can't leave the house. She knows that. So she's going to connect with them. She's going to pray for them. She's going to play her part, a part we do not pay her to play. Then I think about Lisa Klope. She plays a massive part in Epic Kids Ministry, overseeing some things happening in preschool. And then she's hosting a group this fall because she realizes God has gifted her with the ability to connect others to his word and connect them with each other. And she wants those 10 to 15 people in the home this fall to feel like there's a place for them to talk about their faith, their joys, their struggles, and go deeper with each other. She's going to play her part. Think about Michelle and Nate Fahey, who are part of the host team. By the way, not only are we getting rid of the word volunteer, we're getting rid of what we used to call hospitality team. We can't get rid of that word because it's in the Bible. But we're now calling it a host team because we think that gets to the heart of what we're really after. someone that's on a host team, and that's you, by the way. It's a person or a group of people who take ownership of the guest experience from the moment they get to the sidewalk until they leave here. Whether that's brewing coffee, saying, hey, here's where your kids can get checked in. Here's where you can sit. Here's what's going to happen. Can I help you out? Is there anything that you need? It's just owning the experience. And Nate and Michelle do that, among other things. I think about Ryan, who's up here playing electric guitar and just killing it because that's what he does. Monday through Friday, he spends his time designing buildings that are some of the most beautiful buildings in this neighborhood right now. And I would tell you where they are, but he needs to stay humble. So I'm not. And he's crazy humble. I'm just blown away that people who are dentists by profession Monday through Friday are serving behind me in the bunker, making sure that people around the world can get this message. The guys that are killing it in the tech world right now, they're in the booth. Don't look at them because they're behind the scenes for a reason. They're beautiful individuals. They just don't want you to see them. And they're pushing this stuff forward. And the reason it's critical for people to play their part is because God wants to do something here. And there's something happening in this season for our church. There's a lot happening. It's hard to even keep up. But we're in a growth season unlike we've ever been as a church. Over the last 10 weeks, when we look at numbers of like year-over-year growth, over the last 10 weeks, we're averaging 145 more people than the same 10 weeks last year. For those of you that don't want hard numbers but percentages, that's like 30%. And we've never had a growth gap like that. And by the way, if you've not grown up in a church situation, churches aren't supposed to grow in the summer. Okay? And we're running out of space. So because we're running out of space, we're starting next week going to ask the 10:30 crowd. You're like, this is the 10:30. Okay? In case you try to get here for 9 or you're early for noon. We're going to ask 100 of you adults to vacate the 10:30 to make space for those that need to come at 10:30. We're going to give you two choices, 9 and noon, because we just had just a crazy growth season. We're going to start offering an elementary class at noon because of the growth to accommodate those of you that are going to buy into the vision of coming at noon. We're going to feed you maybe once a month. I don't know. I'm sure Lindsay Lee is going to make all kinds of promises if you come to 12, but it's just gone crazy, guys. 2018, including the summer, we've averaged just over 100 kids and students every Sunday. We took 4 middle school and high school students to camp last year. This year, 2 weeks ago, we took 15. It's just doing a thing. And then they're telling me that a lot of people have had babies and now there's a dozen more with babies on the way. And then Will wanted to pull me aside. Like, I had a big week planned and Will wanted to talk to me about a toddler revolution happening in our church. I couldn't even work this week. He spent 40 hours talking my ear off. Ben, we've got to do something about the toddlers because they're running out of room. I was like, their mom and dad should have thought about that when they wanted to play their part in bringing them into the world. Seriously, at 9 and at 10:30. So he sends me, you know, he's like, he can't just convince Lindsay and I. He makes us a spreadsheet. And anywhere the numbers were red meant that we were over the limit. And I'm like, oh man, we do have a problem. And so at 9 and 10:30 in the 18 to 36 month old class, we're over the toddler revolution. There's a dilemma and he's threatening to have the kids sit with me on stage and be in the room while I'm teaching. And I'm like, I can hold a few of them. But we're going to have to ask some of those toddler families to open up for your maybe non-Christian toddler families or new to Epic toddler families, because they can only come to 10:30 and you're bought into the vision already. You're willing to do what's necessary. So starting next week, literally at this hour, just look around. It's still summer, guys. We get a bump every fall and it's just not going to be space. And the last thing we want to do is have to turn people away when they walk in here at 10:30. We're not going to. And I know that you're on board with playing your part. And so we also need to recruit some new kids leaders, because we want to make way for elementary families so that from birth to fifth grade, there's something happening at noon. And by the way, just so you guys know, you won't be one of the 4 people at the noon service, okay? It's just the ratio. So last week at noon, there were 164 adults, but only 3 kids. 65 kids and students at 10:30, 35 at 9. Just to give you an understanding of what's happening. You're like, Ben, it's nap time. I know. We'll figure that out. Just playing our part. So I love the growth stuff. But here's what's better than telling you about the growth numbers is telling you about the stories. I want to give you 4 stories from the last 6 weeks. On July the 8th, we had a family fly in from Minnesota. They had been a part of our church, and they wanted to come back because they wanted to dedicate their second child here at Epic to God, and the mom was baptized. And so that happened at the same 10:30 gathering on July the 8th. July 15th, I'm standing in the lobby and a lady comes up to me and says, I'm so glad to be here in person. I'm like, I'm so glad too. And she says, typically I'm watching from home in Hong Kong. That's cool. 10 days ago, I got an email from Scotland letting us know that they're following and enjoying the podcast every single week and that they will be in the house on September the 16th. This is all just 6 weeks, just 6 weeks. I'm not going back. It's like, I'm not pulling out emails from 2012, okay? Though we could. We had a chance to baptize a lady last month, and that night she just sent me an email. Just said, hey, thanks for the part you guys have played. This is like the most special moment in my life. Now, how did that special moment happen? It happened because God is playing his part, but it also happened because you guys are playing yours, that someone greeted her when she walked in. Someone was up here leading musical worship. She's like, yeah, I didn't really love that music. I wasn't used to it, but now this song's really ministering to me because people are playing their part. That morning, someone played their part and filled up the baptism pool. Someone took a picture so that she could share that with other people who are meaningful to her in her life. Do you see what happens when you play your part? And here's the good news. I'm not asking you to play my part. I'm not being asked to play your part. God isn't asking any of us to play his part. Do you guys, have you ever been in a setting where you hear this as like a leadership talk especially, and I've probably said it many times myself. You ever heard this? I'll never ask you to do anything that I'm not doing. Have you ever heard that? I'm only asking you to do what I'm not doing. I'm not going to ask you to do what I'm doing. You don't have my script. He didn't put in you, thankfully for you, what he put in me. So I'm not asking you to do what I'm doing. I'm asking you to do all the things I'm not, which are many, by the way. I want to show you this video of some families in our church so you can see what else might happen when you play your part.
Moved here about 5 years ago, and family and friends were on the East Coast. There were a lot of changes happening at the time. John was starting a new job, and I was 34 weeks pregnant, and so we were really missing community and feeling a void. We started attending Epic, and within a few weeks, we were connected to the family ministry. Our kids were going to Epic Kids, and I think it made a huge difference in terms of us feeling more settled in a city.
Back in Spain, we attended a Villismore church. So when we were asked to come over here, we were really excited because, it's a great experience to come here. But I remember I was a little bit nervous about, because we were pulling our girls out of the family, friends, to a new place where we didn't know anybody. Peter already, he knew about Epic. So I remember our first Sunday. We were not used to such a big church, and we said, how are we going to start meeting people here with so many people? But it was through Epic groups that we found our way in.
Being in a family group has meant a lot to us because before we were, like, I was going to different separated groups, and she was going to mom's group as well. But you never have that common experience as a family of experiencing the same people, the same group, and especially for the girls, it's such a special group because the children are also integrated with the adults.
I guess one thing that surprised me about Epic Students is the number of high school girls who were there, and I just how close we've gotten and how much they've accepted me.
One thing I've really enjoyed is the ability to, like, go into deep discussions, but then also have a whole lot of fun. We play games, and that kind of lightens up the mood, but then we get to talk about the lesson, and that it makes it very easy to talk about things in a very friendly environment.
Epic Kids has really been a blessing for our family. For one, it offers us an opportunity to attend service without the distraction of kids and having to worry about the kids being noisy or things like that. But additionally, we've actually noticed that Chris and Danny actually learn a lot from their time in Epic Kids. So just the other day, you know, Chris and Danny don't always get along. They can sometimes get into each other's faces. And I was talking to Chris about how it's important to forgive your little brother. He doesn't always intend to do things the way that you think he's intending, and that you should forgive him. And he goes, oh yeah, we learn about that in church. They really do learn a lot, and they're paying attention.
It kind of feels like a family, in my opinion. That's what it's meant for us. Again, we have extended our family somehow.
Especially on the part where we split, and we have the men and the women, I feel that we open up a lot, and we share our struggles, what's bothering us. We pray for each other, other moms that are going through the same as us. And for me specifically, it's been great to be with moms that are ahead of me, with older children. They're like a role model for me. I learn so much from them, and I look forward to meeting with them every Sunday.
The leaders have been really great about sharing their stories and their experiences and giving wisdom into the lives of the students that are there and kind of sharing that they know what we're going through as teenagers, which is really great because sometimes you're kind of like, why is this adult talking to me like they have no idea what I'm going through?
Like, we're able to talk and discuss about things that are hard sometimes and, like, celebrate when things are good. And it's just very powerful. And, yeah, you feel like you're not alone.
Part of the reason that I serve with Epic Kids in the nursery is because I know as a mom or as a parent how difficult it is to develop your relationship with God or be fully present in service with kids grabbing onto you. And so just to be able to give parents that important time is a huge reason why I serve.
I would definitely encourage anybody that has kids that would like to stay connected to try a family group, because you all your family grows and you get connected and you get to know more people. These little efforts that we make, they're very worth it, because at the end of the day, you stay connected and you learn from others and you grow together.
Just so you know, those things haven't always been present realities in our church. We would have loved to have offered that day one, but we haven't. But you know how we've been able to offer it? Men and women, boys and girls, just like you, playing your part. People like the McLeans going, hey, we'd love to do a family group. And now all of a sudden there's this massive thing happening. And so today you have a card in your seat, and I want to just ask you to pull that out, especially if you're part of our church. If you're not, maybe you should pray about being a part, or just pray for your own church during this time. But I want you to think about what you've been given, and I want you to think about which one of these teams makes sense for you to step in and join today. Some of them are pretty self-explanatory, the host team taking ownership of that experience, seating people, making coffee, pointing people in the direction they should go. The production team, they're literally getting, it's crazy to me that what's happening in a basement in San Francisco is being broadcast around the world and impacting people, but you can be an excited part of that group. Kids and students, I told you about the growth there, especially for the 12 o'clock. We'd love for people to say, hey, I'm ready to help in that area at that time, or just generally worship. If you've been given a gift, like most of us, when it comes to musical gifts, we've only been given gifts for the shower. True. But if you've been given a musical gift for the common good, it's time to bring it into the church. Weekday team, if you help, like helping with process, organization, follow through, huge, massive help. Creative media, all of the things that I have not been gifted in, you can do that. Epic Groups are getting ready to launch this fall with more offerings than we've ever had. But if you want to help in that way, hosting, because that's a hospitality gift for you, or facilitating, leading, teaching, we would love for you to play a part in that. And then for all of you outliers, you can write in the vote, okay? Just tell us, hey, here's the unique thing I do. I don't know if there's a place for me, but I want you to fill that out. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to come onto the team. Sidelines are boring. Being on the field is pretty sweet. So get into the game. And as you fill out this card, what I want you to do is don't put it in the buckets at the end during our offering time. I want you to fill this card out, take it to the Next Steps area, and they are going to give you a t-shirt if you're joining a team today. Now, those of you currently on a team, I know what you're thinking. Stop the emails to me. But Ben, I've been serving for 2 years. I don't have a shirt. Yours is on the way. Promise. Like, we don't need you resigning as we're trying to add other people. We don't need you to give your part up because other people are ready to play it. And you didn't get a t-shirt. And you're better than that. But yours are on the way. They'll be here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Promise. And but the rest of you, if you're going to be on the team, you need a jersey, right? Are you going to play your part? Yeah. I'm going to play mine, but I can't play yours. And I want to remind us of something, or maybe say it in a different way that I have said it so far. Anyone can volunteer, but only you can use your unique gifts. And I hope and pray that you will. Will you play your part? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the part that you play in this community. God, thank you for the vision you've given us. God, I'm so thankful for men and women and families that have come before this current generation of Epic attendees. God, and have played their part so that we get to sit in this, so that we get to keep being blessed by what you're doing weekend after weekend throughout the week with groups, God, what you're doing in the family ministry, broadcasting around the world. God, thank you for the part you've given us. My prayer is that you would give courage to the people who know they have been given gifts, significant gifts. God, give them courage in this moment to employ the gifts that you've given them. Otherwise, there's no point in you giving us gifts. Lead us from here, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to stand as Todd gets ready to lead us in a song that's all about what we're going to build our lives on. And I want you to think about your part in helping this become reality for others. Let's worship.